Radio, stpete.com, presents Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from our studios inside Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigCDesign.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. BigCDesign.com. Now, let's go live to Big C for Job Talk with Dean Logan.
Thank you, Joe Bordeaux, and welcome everyone to Job Talk, the only radio program in Tampa Bay dedicated to talking about jobs. I'm your host, Dean Logan, and we're broadcasting today from the Big C offices located in downtown St. Petersburg. I want to take this time to thank our sponsor, Big C, for their support, as well as everyone working behind the scenes, especially Thomas, for all of their help. And for those of you tuning into Job Talk for the first time, you'll learn that it's my goal to talk with the leaders of every employer I can in Tampa Bay, big and small, and in every possible industry, so that anyone considering moving their business or making a change in their employment will know what it's like to live, work, and play here in Tampa Bay. All of my guests are making a positive difference in the community, and listening to Job Talk is a way to get to know them just a little bit better. Plus, it's been a lot of fun for me to talk with some great guests and make some new friends in the process. So before I introduce my guests, I want to mention that if you want to view the website associated with today's program while listening, you can visit etcultura.com. That's etcultura.com. You can also follow us live as we can be seen on Periscope. You can view the stream by going to twitter.com/recruit. ACAD and click on the live stream link. You can also add us on Periscope using the handle @AR Academy. It's a pleasure to welcome two of the founders of Et Cultura, Leah Umberger and Joe Melizia. Welcome to Job Talk, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
It's really a pleasure to have you here. I'm really excited about this festival. But before we start talking about that, I'd like to, as always, to let people know a little bit about yourself on a personal level. Mm-hmm. So, Leah, let's start with you first. And tell us where you're from.
I'm actually from a little bit of everywhere. I grew up in California, but then moved to Florida when I was in the sixth grade.
Yeah, what part of California?
I was in Camarillo, California, just south of L.A., north of L.A., yeah. South of San Francisco. That's what my mom always used to tell me. I'm like, I don't know. I was five. I knew there was a really cool beach. Yeah. So we moved from there to Tennessee. My family was in the military, so lived in Memphis for a little while, and then moved here sixth grade. So I've been here since sixth grade for middle school, high school, and then moved away for grad school and came back.
Wow. Where'd you go to grad school?
I went to grad school at NYU. Okay. For design, for theater and film.
So the big city?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I lived in D.C. for a few years and then moved to New York for about 7 or 8 years and then got a job back here at HSN, actually.
Great.
And moved back home.
So you know what it's like to live in a big city versus here in the St. Pete area?
I do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I've lived all over the country with doing different theater and film projects. So everywhere from cold weather to warm weather to big cities to small cities to countrysides, almost everything I've experienced.
Great. So what'd you do at HSN?
I was the managing art director for the live show. So any of the live show sets, I was working on the designs and managing the department that created the designs for those.
Okay. Did you start at that role?
I started as the senior stylist in home fashion. So I started there basically styling the home sets and designing the home sets and then moved up over, I think I was there about 7 or 8 years, mm-hmm. moved up over that time and had three different sort of positions within the department. I was the senior stylist, then moved to art director, and then managing art director. Great. In the 8 years.
Yeah, and then what did you do after that?
I'm here at Cultura.
Do some work, though, with USF?
Yes, right now I am actually currently working at USF as a professor in Tampa, the USF Theater and Dance Department. I am the scenic design professor, and I'm teaching 3 days a week and then working on this festival here.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, Joel, tell us about yourself now.
All right. I was born in Erie, Pennsylvania, a small little town up in the chimney of PA, and grew up there till I was 11. My father got a job, came down, got a job teaching, so he moved the family, followed a couple of our extended other family members down. That's why we picked this place. We were just kind of caravanning out of the snow. And so I got here, my first year was sixth grade, and it was a bit of a shock, but it was the best decision my parents, one of the best things my father and mother ever gave me, and they've given us a lot.
Yeah.
But I know that my life would be different if we were still there. It was a GE hammer mill town,
right?
Have a four kids, live in the basement, kind of a lifestyle. I'm sure I'd have loved it, you know. Yeah. I'm not knocking it. But gosh, the sun's so great.
So what did you? What kind? Did you go to school here too?
Yeah, I went down. I came middle school, high school. Went to Central America for a little bit after that, and then
really, what part?
Costa Rica.
Yeah. What'd you do down there?
I starved.
Yeah. As any good artist should.
It was the best. Hindsight's the best experience. One of the best experiences of my life. We went down there searching for guitar. Council.
Are you a guitarist?
Yeah. Okay. I've played guitar for a long time. And it turns out we were the only two people with guitars down there, and we got robbed a couple times, and we had to work for our food, clean the beach for some burgers, but it was incredible. It was and the best way to get entitlement and recognize the luxuries that we do have, and things like ketchup. I missed ketchup like crazy. I don't know why, but I came back and I had ketchup on everything. I went to Central America for a few months, and then I came back and then ended up hitchhiking through Arizona for a little while, and then came back. I always end up settling here. This is the best place to be. I can't imagine living anywhere else.
So you've done some other jobs besides being a musician?
Yep, I've done them all. All of them.
But mostly, tell us some kind of stuff. I understand you're a carpenter as well?
Yep, carpenter. I did a lot of carpentry work, rehabbing some houses in Florida bungalows, you know, the 1920s, 25, 26 homes.
Right.
Did that for other people and with my own business. And got me into set building at HSN. So,
oh, okay.
So that's where Leah and I met.
What did you do at HSN?
I was a on-call carpenter, and then they worked on lighting shifts and the carpentry set building, and then ended up going full time as one of the prop masters.
And how long were you there?
5 years.
Wow.
5 years. Not all full time, but yeah. It was
it's a great company.
Oh yeah, man. Oh, that I you know, speaking about jobs here, almost anybody coming out of HSN, I would hire, mm-hmm. because they are hardworking. If they've made it a few years there and they haven't been let go, they know how to work. They know how to work on tight budgets and
deadlines.
Nearly impossible deadlines. Mm-hmm. And that place has a knack for recruiting incredible talent, mm-hmm. and they just do not fail. Mm-hmm. So they constantly push their team. Mm-hmm. So anybody coming out of there is a desirable hire.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you do after you left there?
After there, I started a company called Pilot Moon Films with my partner Dave Allison, the other founder, the third of Et Cultura, the current founder. We started a company called Pilot Moon Films. It's a small production company. Oh my
like
god!
Interactive.
We would get together and make stupid films and shoot a lot of live music, and it just. I was like, a year from today, I'm going to quit my job, and we're going to do this full time. And it was nearly a year to the day I quit, and we started Pilot Moon Films. So we've been just hopping around, doing a lot of small stuff, some big stuff.
Are there any films that somebody might recognize?
Oh yeah, no. We had a lot of fun making a film called Beard. It was inspired by my buddy Jeremy Douglas, and it's a traditional love story. But instead of a man and a woman, it's between a man and his beard. And
okay.
He shaves his beard and it runs out of the house. And they end up running at each other at a bar and it's awkward. Then he realizes he wants the beard again. So it's a fun film.
That's funny. And so you mentioned that you met Leah there. You mm-hmm. guys met. Yep. And so when you met, how long did it come about before you actually started talking about this festival?
It was a while. I mean, we always got along. We always said we should do something outside of work. It's important when you're in a corporate environment to always
find
some creative outlet that gives it to you.
Yeah.
We talked about that, and then Green Bench, Colin Lyman from Green Bench, he was at the time the GM, asked Dave and I to help him start a film festival at Green Bench, and I just threw it out there to Leah, say, hey, you want to help us do a film festival? And she said yes. Mm-hmm. So it was a first year event. It was quite small, and it was called Craft Film Festival.
And what did it include?
A lot of local and regional and Florida films. Mm-hmm. We were going to just kind of do the films. It was all about screening films of people who could attend the festival. Mm-hmm. We were excited about providing a platform and a respectful way of showing our friends and other peers films on a really blown up great
experience.
Sound. Yeah, experience. Great sound, great video.
Okay. And then, so you did that for how long?
One year.
1 year. And then is that when Kultura came about after that?
Yeah. It was literally we finished Craft Film Festival. We sort of, that was in November of that year. We took a few weeks off and then met back in January and we're like, what do we do now? You know, do we just do another Craft Film Festival or do we really sort of blow it out of the water? And we all unanimously decided to go much bigger.
It was like, hey, we'll just add some music. And then a couple weeks of getting acclimated to that thought, we're like, well, you know, we should follow, you know, we always had our eye on, without knowing it, our eye on a little bit of South by Southwest because we have a little bit of an insider's perspective on that festival. So it was always that, hey, if we're going to add music, we might as well add some talks around that or
add the art.
Add the
maker's part of it. And it became sort of, I think, intentionally but unintentionally, a showcase of all the great things that were happening in St. Pete.
Right.
So that was the best part about sort of the evolution of it. It wasn't us forcing these things to happen. It was like, oh, hey, we have this great group of people that want to do the art show here. Could we do the art show on Saturday night? Oh, we have this other great group of people that want to do another event here. Can we have it as part of this? So it was a lot about curating the right groups of people to come in and create what the first Ekultura was. And it fell into place in a way that it was people were saying yes to us, but it was really hard. I don't want to say hard for us to say no to things, but it was easy to say yes to working with them. Mm-hmm. So that's where it sort of bloomed really quickly and then grew as we went into this year too.
And did you model this after any other festivals?
Yeah. Well,
maybe the Austin one a little bit.
Yeah. The South by Southwest one, meaning, knowing the value of the interactive branch of a festival, knowing the value of what intellectual tourism and gathering, using our resources and efforts to create a platform for discussions that want to happen in a city. I don't know if that was really, if we didn't see firsthand what it does in Austin, I don't know if it would be so our number one branch or our priority, but knowing that, and like Leah said, we thought, okay, let's model this after a festival, but then we just turned around and saw an entire city full of stuff that's already happening that we can kind of fit underneath an umbrella brand. Mm-hmm. So it was already sitting here, and like Leah said, we just reaching out. It went from us trying to plan a festival to us meeting with people,
coordinating it,
meeting with people and hearing what their vision is for the city and for their specific skill set. Mm-hmm. And then we just take our capital and our heavy lifting and hard
logistics,
work
to
make it happen.
Great. My guests today are Leah Umberger and Joel Melizia, two of the founders of Ekultura, a 5-day interactive music, film, and art festival here in St. Pete. And so, you know, what have you learned really about building your business from the ground up?
I think that I would speak for both of us that we didn't start as business people. So that was one of the things of just coming into this and really starting literally from scratch. I know that Joel's had a few other businesses, but it was really interesting to see how, in my head, I would have thought it would have been hard to do. And I'm not saying it's easy, but the process, once you have the right people around you to sort of help you, really went really smoothly. And that's what was, really, and just surprising to me as someone that hadn't done it before. And building it in St. Pete, there were so many people that were here ready to sort of guide us and like, hey, you need to join the chamber. Hey, you should do this. And they were really helpful in sort of shaping what we were doing. We had the drive and the initiative to do it, but there were a lot of people that had some really good advice. And I thought that was priceless. And I don't know that we would have, if we lived in New York, I don't know that you would get the same sort of support and background. And that's sort of my experience of bigger cities. You're a dime a dozen. And here you're sort of, people want to foster that growth.
I think it's a hallmark of the area, quite frankly.
Okay. I agree.
And so let's talk about the name Ekultura. How'd you come up with that name?
Oh. We spent 4 days, I would say, painstaking days with random word generators and coming up with all these different things, lists and lists. And we would send there was four of us at the time, and we would send all of these lists and names out and of names out, and none of them really fit. And we ran out of time. And so our Colin Lyman came up and said, he threw that name in the hat, and we sat and figured out a way to make it make sense, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. And we like it because it's a very vague. I'm not vague. It's almost like
it's Latin, isn't it?
It's Latin, but it's not immediately for me. It wasn't something that immediately took my brain to a place. So mm-hmm. We were again looking at South by Southwest. Everybody, it's an umbrella brand that everybody can knows the quality, knows what to expect, and wants to be a part of it. So
it's similar. When you say something like Coachella, you sort of have this idea that comes to your head of what that music festival is, and I think that's sort of what at Cultura gave us. It was this name that didn't really have a definition, and at the same time allows us to sort of keep adding, and that's the great part about it.
And I think you wanted to make it a little difficult.
Harder to say. Yes. That's it.
It's difficult, but and meaning and culture. I mean, it was it's fun for us as marketing people, as just slightly leaning towards the creative, less towards the business, yeah. a little more towards creative. It was fun for us to think that we could choose a culture. If moving forward, once we get legs, once we actually know that this is going to work and it does take root, it'll be fun to select a culture, Day of the Dead or something that just doesn't have to monopolize the branding, but it's some way
highlight
we could,
for that
we can yeah. highlight cultures. It frees up branding, mm-hmm. And we can maybe use that selection of that culture and then bring in bands from that culture, filmmakers from that culture, speakers, and
okay.
some way to create a theme for the festival.
And it's also shortened into the ETC, so et cetera. That's something that a lot of people see and are sort of recognizing that part of it. It's like, and this. It's that okay. sort of keeps going.
Nice. Mm-hmm. And so when does it take place?
November 15th through the 19th.
Okay. And how can listeners buy tickets, and how much are they, and tell us about that.
We have three options. We have the all access pass is $75 for all 5 days for every single event mm-hmm. under the Et Cultura brand mm-hmm. Event festival. Thank you. And I'm still trying not to choke on that water that I was hacking, but I just had the smallest sip and it only went in my lungs. So we have the $75 all access pass, and it's our whole goal behind this event. This is not an event. They've tried these types of events before here in St. Pete. I think that we're just riding a pretty nice wave of timing within the city at this point and the mm-hmm. people who are here. But, it's all about showing the value of what that ticket is. $75 mm-hmm. off the bat, immediately in my brain's like, oh man, what? But if you see what is coming and what you'll have access to, that's what we're
and
trying
to
show people.
If you divide it up, I think even if you just look at one category, the value in one category is worth that amount. So by adding it all together, it really adds up. The other ones that we have is we do have a $250 VIP pass that you can get that has a little bit more added to it and a little bit more experience. And
what will somebody get for that?
The easiest way, it's I hate to say it's a laundry list of things, but the easiest way is you go on ecultura.com and there's a ticket info page that you can go in and sort of read what you get with all of the VIP. But basically it's, you know, access into, you'll get a VIP line, you'll have access to the VIP lounge up at Janus that we having that has free food and drink. You'll have locations on our market footprint that you'll have free access to free food and drink in your own tent to sort of go hang out in. Access. And different events that are going to happen throughout the festival that will let people know there's a some free listening event that we're going to be doing with WMNF every day on our footprint, and all the VIPs and other people we invited, but it's VIP will get the first option to choose to be a part of it, and then it goes out to anyone else. So there's little bits of personal meet and greets, things that you get a little bit more personal access to the festival right. than just general admission. And then we do have some
talent. Access to talent, yeah. Keynote speakers. We for like one of our keynotes for Radical Schools, there will be a meet and greet prior to that. To our Live Well experience, there's going to be a lot of our panelists that are going to be around for beers and
conversation. Yeah. And we also have some discount tickets with different groups in the city. So St. Pete Run Fest is a group that we're partnering with. And I know that they're doing something with the runners that if you're a runner that weekend, because that's also Saturday and Sunday, they have a discount ticket. If you're a member of the Chamber, St. Pete Chamber, there's a discount available through them as well. Okay. And then we'll talk about it a little bit later, but volunteering, that there's a way to volunteer and get a free ticket for putting in volunteer hours.
We want to make sure that this is an accessible festival. Mm-hmm. Right now, South by Southwest, just to tell on them, it's $1,700 for an all access pass. Right. And we want to make sure we never do that. Okay. if our city can't come to our own its own festival, then
what's the point?
Right.
Really? Yeah. And I think the other side of that is we will have, along with ticketed venue options, we will have free events that are out there as part of the festival as well. So not everything, if you can't afford a ticket, you just want to pop in for 1 or 2 hours and go to the market or go to an art show, those will be free events. So there will be something sprinkled in there that you don't have to don't have to purchase the ticket.
Okay. So on your website it talks about open partnership. Who are they, and what's the relationship to the festival?
Open is the Open Partner Education Network. Mm-hmm. They are housed and based out of USF St. Petersburg. Wow, I just added the bird.
You said that right, yeah.
It's Walter Balzer and Jenny Fessler. They are two incredible human beings that really, really want to change the world. And Walter was challenged by a community of leaders in St. Pete to focus on intellectual content within the city of St. Petersburg. Out of that came up with a four-branched idea, a full circle idea of having an open, how does a city grow, learn together and grow
together,
smarter, mm-hmm. smarter together. That's really what it is. So,
okay.
I encourage you to have those two on your program.
Sure,
because
they
would be able to explain it incredibly well. But what we are doing with Open is they are a significant partner in our interactive branch, which is our most important, our highest priority branch.
Okay.
We are partnering with them to join, our capital and our resources to elevate the content. Mm-hmm. That's basically the whole mission of Ekultura, is we are not going out to pay retail for Chance the Rapper or any musicians, filmmakers. And our whole goal is to collaborate.
Mm-hmm.
So with Open, they could do a speaker series or they could have their own events on their own. We could do our own, but by joining forces, we can have a signature event once a year that everything is elevated and there's a lot more spotlights on it.
And the goal is to elevate conversations that are already happening in St. Petersburg, so it feels like our community and it's not something being brought in from somewhere else and sort of talked about. So that's the other big part of it, is to make sure that citizens stay involved in what the festival is.
Last thought on that. Open is not just an event experience. They do have signature events. They are a year-round organization that has a open wiki, mm-hmm. where conversations and fuzzy ideas are put into the wiki, where people can real time see what the conversation is and collaborate, and people can leave the conversation and the whole idea doesn't die. It just mm-hmm. it's still able to move forward. They have their Learn Open portal, which is a way of populating events from social media pages into one place where you can access it. And so if there's something happening on urban agriculture, it sometimes only gets promoted within that group. This will be populating from everywhere. And then there's the Open Reel, which is basically a YouTube channel of epic proportions. That's where we're getting Radio St. Pete involved with the blogs within the city.
And I was going to ask you, who else are you partnering with? I know Radio St. Pete's going to be at some of your events, mm-hmm. I think.
And, Radio St. We're actually partnering. That's sort of the great part about our business, is we're partnering with a lot of people. Radio St. Pete is going to be a media partner and going to be part of some of the potential podcasts that we're doing with the different pieces of the events. each of the pop-up art shows are actually curated by businesses that are already in St. Petersburg. Our music is curated by No Clubs and Daddy Cool Records. So that's another business that we're working with. And it is. It's sort of one of those things that we've had the opportunity. Green Bench has been a huge supporter. Station House has been a huge supporter. In terms of finding ways to do different things, we're also working with a group called Venue Viking, which is helping us sort of go through the different venues in the city and work on our VIP experience. So we're really trying to branch out and incorporate as many businesses as we can. I know that sounds crazy, but that's one of the things that we're trying to. St. Pete is littered in a good way with all of this talent. And the more that we can sort of work with other people and get their ideas, it just makes what we're doing stronger. So I think that's one of our strengths as a festival, is that it is sort of building on all the great work that people are already doing, you know?
Right. My guests today are Leah Umberger and Joe Malizia, two of the founders of Et Cultura, a five-day interactive music, film, and art festival here in St. Pete. And just tell me about how did you come up to pick the musical artists and choose the films and the artists, the other artists as well? How did they actually become part of the event?
There's actually two different ways. So we have curators for each of the different areas. Music, we're working with Tony and No Clubs, and they're actually working, and Jessica Clark, that are working on curating the music that are sort of at the larger scale festivals. We did have a submission process that you could submit to be considered for local music. We're also working with, I think we can say this, Florida Folk Scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're also helping us curate some of the music that we're having during the Makers Market. So we sort of work through different curators to do it, and then through submissions on our website. For the films, we have a curator named Derek Horn, who is actually an amazing film curator. He does short film. He does film programming all across the United States. And we were lucky enough to get him to sign on and be part of our project as well. So he's curating the whole film lineup, but we're also going through Film Freeway and getting submissions through there as well. So there's a balance of ways for people to apply that might not know the curators, and we can sort of find talent that way. Or if you are already submitting into the different festivals, then there's ways to do that. All the pop-up art shows, each of the curators are coming from the businesses, and so they'll put out their own open call through their pieces and through the makers. We're doing a makers market on Saturday and Sunday, and that you can actually apply for through our website. And we actually extended the application process until October 1st. So if there's any makers out there that sell, you know, interesting things, handmade wares, vintage pieces, we're still looking for people to fill up the makers market as well.
All right. Yeah. So let's talk about the event itself, and let's go through each day. Like anyone that, any listener that wants to purchase tickets, I want them to be able to know how they can plan their attendance. And so let's talk about the first day, Wednesday, November 15th. What's happening on that day? And let's start with the interactive part. What's happening then?
Okay. Our first day is one of our strongest days. It's a really exciting, we're taking the hot topic of, it's an important topic of plant-based diets, whole food diets, to out of the headlines and bringing experts in that field, bringing them to our festival. So we're calling it Live Well. It is it's at Janus Landing. Our footprint's at Janus Landing. We're taking we're removing the traditional venues at this point and putting conversations, topics, presentations, and we're putting them in the rock and roll setting of Janus. Mm-hmm. Have some drinks, enjoy each other's company, and listen. Add some seating.
Yeah.
We're adding seating. So we're decreasing the capacity by adding seating, but we want people to be comfortable. Yeah. Some of our we have the open is responsible for bringing in the Oresti speakers. Jim Oresti is the supporter and of Open, and he's also a part of Et Cultura. Mm-hmm. We have two Oresti speakers for the Live Well. One is Dr. T. Colin Campbell. He's famous for the China Study. It's a book, a study and the book that came out little while ago, but he's also the star of Forks Over Knives, the documentary Forks Over Knives, and Plant Pure Nation. Mm-hmm. So he's coming. We have Dr. Michael Greger, who wrote the number one bestseller, How Not to Die, mm-hmm. which we all should probably know, How Not to Die. J.D. Roth is confirmed. J.D. Roth is a producer of The Biggest Loser television show. He, after 14 years of doing that show, realized that everybody who wins the show puts their weight back on. So he's starting a new show called The Big Fat Truth. And it is all based on plant-based diets.
Plant-based whole foods.
Yeah. Dr. Lori Marbus is a doctor. She's a physician from Boca Raton, and she has incredible results from directing her patients towards a plant-based diet. Mm-hmm. The results, I mean, I'm not a vegetarian yet. but the more I read about this stuff, the more I'm realizing what it actually does to your blood, to your alkaline acidic level, you know, it's pretty quite amazing. And then we have John Corey, who's the producer of Plant Purination. He and Nelson Campbell are, and Steve are a part of the Plant Pure health and wellness brand. Mm-hmm. This all keeps evolving. People are more and more interested in this, and they are starting a frozen food line. Actually, it's going to be sold in Publix, all plant-based stuff.
And so when does all of this start?
Okay, so this starts right around 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, there'll be people filing in. There'll be a
VIP encounter.
At Janus?
Yeah, at Janus. VIP from about 5 to about 6:30, potentially with speakers starting around 7. So we're still working out the final schedule with the whole lineup because we do keep adding a few people. And as we finalize the schedule, we'll have it'll be completely up on the website. But each of these things that they'll be posted in there. But yeah.
Just to finish, I don't want to leave anybody out. Nelson Campbell and Kim Campbell are also speakers during that event. Nelson Campbell is famous for the Plant Pure Nation documentary, and his wife Kim wrote the cookbooks for these. So she'll be in town doing some cooking demos as well.
Any other events going on that particular night?
That night we also have the opening of the Exquisite Corpse exhibit, which is an art exhibit. We're working with the gallery down on 1st Avenue South and 2nd Street.
The bottom of the Priotech building.
Yeah, the bottom of the Priotech building. And we are working with a group that is doing the Exquisite Corpse, which is a game that's actually played by artists. And it's sort of 54 different artists are getting together, and they're doing, one artist is doing the head, one artist is doing the torso, and one artist is doing the legs. But none of them ever see each other's work. So out of those 54 artists, it will create so many paintings. They're going to have painted pieces. They're going to have sculptural pieces. And they're also doing photography for the first time this year. And that will be opening that night as well. It will open that night and be up through Saturday. So that's
what time
sort of
will
cool.
that open?
That will open, I think we're looking at a 6 o'clock open, potentially a 4 o'clock preview for the VIP. And then so that way the VIP could come in, do the 4 to 5, and then go down to live well. And so the idea is that it's all sort of in close proximity, that you could walk from one to the other. If you didn't want to hear one speaker for a few minutes, you could go down to the art gallery and sort of browse through and go back and forth. Okay. And so that's sort of a cool exhibit. Nice. And it has one other day that it's showing, like November 2nd is the first day that they unveil it. It's at the MFA for one night, and then it's gone.
Okay.
And we're the next time that you get the opportunity to see it.
All right.
So that's sort of cool.
So now let's talk about Thursday.
One more event on
film.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a premiere. Our film festival is specializing in documentaries and short films. Mm-hmm. And so we're treating our feature-length docs as our headliners. So Wednesday night, if people can't get into the Live Well at Janus experience, we are going to counterbalance that with a screening of Wasted. It's a film produced by Anthony Bourdain. It's all about food waste all over the world. It's incredibly beautiful, informative, fun films that people can watch. And we are now talking with the filmmakers about bringing them in there for Q&A. And we also have an opportunity to reach out to some of the celebrity chefs that are in the film.
So we're working on that.
We're working on it.
All right. Sounds exciting. Yeah. Okay. So let's go through Thursday and Friday. Tell us about the events and everything that you have scheduled for those days.
Thursday starts the interactive in the morning, and that is actually the Seeds event, which is all about urban agriculture and sustainable farming. And we're working on those different projects. There'll be a few different speakers throughout the day, and then there will be an arrestee keynote speaker, which I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say who it is yet.
Well, people can always look at your website.
Yeah, they can look at our website better. And find out. I'll know a little bit more.
That's fine. I'm always for asking for forgiveness.
So it will be the leaders sort of in urban agriculture and hydroponic growing and also sustainable farming and talking about things like how to eat your lawn and how to do, you know, lessen your waste footprint and different things that they're working on, different ordinances and policies that are in the process in regards to urban agriculture in St. Pete, that it is definitely focused around what is happening here. It's not, we're bringing in the keynote speaker to sort of help invigorate what's already going on. And because he was actually impressed with what is going on here is one of the reasons that he agreed to come down and be a part of this event. So that will be going on pretty much all day. And then it will segue into that evening. We will have concerts and films. The concerts that night were actually in Janice and the State, and we have two different lineups. So depending on your taste in music,
we'll get to that when we tell you about the music.
Yeah. And then the films, we're going to have another film premiere that night. I think we're still working on what that final is. Dolly?
It's Dare to Be Different.
Okay.
It's a documentary about a radio station in Long Island, WLRI or LIR.
Yeah.
ILR.
Yeah.
Something. They basically brought all of the British, the new wave stuff from
alternative music.
From Europe. People would wait at the airport, get these CDs immediately off the airplane, and then go and then play them. And they were the first people to do that, and they kind of created a legend.
The idea of an independent radio station. And harkens sort of a little bit to like what WMNF does. And it was sort of that's what they were doing. And it sort of goes through the whole story of their sort of growing up. And
it's what you guys are currently doing.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So what's happening on Friday now?
Friday is Radical Schools. Every day is going to have a theme where these themes are launched and, it's the genesis and the finale of the themes that are out of open, our partner. So the third theme is radical schools, and it's the intersection of education, sports, and music. So we are going to be, again, we have a keynote speaker, a significant keynote speaker coming down because he sees what the entire day is. And his name is Jeffrey Canada. He's the, that'll be a midday talk, so people want to take the day off. It's the week, it's the last day before Thanksgiving break, so just leave
for the teachers. Yeah,
for the teachers. Okay, leave a little early. He founded the Harlem Children's Zone. He's also one of the architects for the My Brother's Keeper Foundation, Barack Obama's $1 billion foundation. St. Petersburg is a My Brother's Keeper city, and so we have the opportunity to bring him down, and he's super excited about what's going on in St. Pete. So we're going to highlight him. We have talks all day long, and I'll give you a couple of names of that.
Architecture in school, talking about the design for school and things like that. We're also talking about curriculum in schools, obviously, and sort of what are new ways to approach it, and educators and how educators can become more than just educators, like what the process is of going through an educational system as a career choice. As you're talking about jobs, that it's teachers are teachers, but what else could come out of that career choice as people are looking at that path. So those are some of the things that they're working on.
And the music throughout the evening.
There'll be music in Janice Landing and the State and satellite venues in between, Ringside, Ruby's Elixir.
And of course, anyone that wants information, this can look in the website.
Absolutely.
You'll have all that there, I'm sure.
Yeah. I just want to say that on our music, we're actually still in the process of listing all of our people. We have our first 9 bands that are up, and that's just the first 9 of probably about 20. Okay. So we will be doing another announcement September 15th. We'll sort of release a few more bands, and then we'll sort of trickle them out as we get them. But we're just at the beginning of sort of giving that information out. And there's some really great bands. Yeah.
One of the last things that we want to say about Radical Schools is we are in partnership with ASA Entertainment. They have a tour program, school tour program, where they bring a 50-foot half pipe to the community. They send them out to the school systems or 3 schools 3 days prior to the festival event. They'll be doing an anti-bully message, pro skaters, BMX, and then the fourth day they'll be on our footprint, and they will be doing 2 shows during all of the Radical School stuff.
So what are the highlights for Saturday?
The Saturday actually starts in the morning with a morning yoga. Would be Saturday morning, usually at about 10 a.m. is when we started it last year, and it'll be morning yoga probably down. Last year we did it on Baum Avenue. We closed down one of the lots and had a stage there. So we're still, we're finalizing the footprint, but we'll have morning yoga on both Saturday and Sunday. Quickly right after that will be followed with the market. We'll have a maker's market that will be Saturday and Sunday. We've recently signed up with a group, TBBCA, to do a chalk walk on Saturday. And that's our sort of some of our pop-up art that's happening on Saturday. What else? We also have music all day on Saturday. It's
the VW
crazy.
Club is excited VW being Club. There. A vintage motorcycle show, beard competition, pin-up girls, vintage cars.
Yeah.
Nice. It gets nuts.
Yeah, that Saturday and Sunday is sort of the market is the hub of sort of all the activity during the day. And then it also shifts into the music that night.
Okay, great. And so on Sunday, do you have a finale?
We do.
Yeah, so Sunday we're going to not have music in any of the satellite venues. We're going to focus everybody's attention to Baum Avenue, and so we'll be having live a lot of free music. The Maker's Market will be going on, and we will be inviting our volunteers to have. We'll celebrate their volunteers. Yeah. Run Fest, St. Pete Run Fest is going on that same weekend. That same day is the end of their fest, their major run. So we'll be encouraging them to come up and participate with us. And it all ends with a projection mapping project at the end of Baum Avenue.
And we also have that evening right before the projection mapping is Todd Bates and the Carousel are going to be doing another photography exhibit for us as well. And I think the one thing we forgot to talk about the Future Cities panel, which is part of the interactive, and that is actually starting Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at lunchtime. If people can't take off to go see some of the other events, we are doing events around lunchtime at Station House and in that area that people can come out and have conversations about Future City and what that means to St. Petersburg. And we have some really interesting keynote speakers that are coming in for that as well.
Great. My guests today are Leah Umberger and Joel Malizia of Et Cultura, 5-day interactive music, film, and art festival being held here in St. Pete from November 15th through the 19th. So now, guys, let's talk about jobs. I understand that you're looking for some volunteers, you know, so tell us about how many you're looking for and what will they do.
We are looking for, I hate to say this, it's a scary number, about 200 to 300. Last year, we were fortunate enough to have about 91 volunteers, and Kelly Malizia was great at sort of putting that together for us, and we had some amazing people come out and help last year. And we are looking, since we have sort of almost tripled our size, we estimate that we need triple that amount. And so we're looking anywhere between 200 and 300 people. And they'll be doing everything from answering questions, selling tickets, checking tickets, being sort of, I don't want to say a concierge, but if people have questions about, oh, I couldn't get into this event, what else is there available? We will have an app and people way for people to sort of connect that information, but sometimes one-on-one contact with a person is more valuable, and that's what those volunteers are there for. And anyone can volunteer. We are also looking for volunteers sort of prior to the festival in terms of setup, in terms of doing some marketing stuff for us, going to hang posters, things like that. And the cool part about doing volunteer work is if you put in so many hours, then you get a free ticket to the event. So it's another way to sort of balance your budget. If you can't afford the $75, we wanted to make sure that there was some accessibility for people that wanted to do it that way.
And when would they begin their work? Like, when's the first time that your volunteers would start actually working on this project?
We have some people working now. Okay. We not just day of stuff, the stuff you're asking about prior to this. We have graphic artists starting now, creating our music posters. We are looking to build a team, and right now they kind of look like volunteers.
Yeah.
So but your skill set is welcome. If you have any ideas for us, please approach us. We want your help.
And how can the community get involved?
There's various ways. Volunteering is definitely one of them. The other part would be looking at Open and sort of working through the wiki and sort of working on projects that are happening in Open in terms of the different panels that are out there. So as we announce different panels and discussions, if there's things that really hit you at home of like, I want to be a part of what that discussion is, either helping on that day or being part of that discussion. If you know someone that would be great for that panel, don't be shy about calling up or sending an email or, you know, contacting us and letting us know so that we can.
There's a form on our website.
Yeah, that you can send information to us through that.
You know, what have you experienced being a new company, basically getting started in St. Pete? Have people been helpful to you?
This has been one of the most incredible experiences putting this together. It's a lot of work. There's so much support from the government, from the city to the corporate leaders to people in the streets. It's really, they're really excited. We're not trying, we don't have to sell it too hard. People understand what is happening here, mm-hmm. and they see this as part of a way to accelerate the focus and
on show, St. Petersburg,
yeah, focus of the St. Pete culture.
All right, great. You know, this brings us to the interview tip of the week. So, Lee and Joel, if somebody really wanted to apply for one of these volunteer positions or any other positions at Cultura, what one piece of advice would you give them, Leah?
My piece of advice is don't be afraid to do it. Like, that's the hardest part, I think, getting over the, like, oh, will they want me? Will they not want me? That's the biggest thing, and to be yourself. One of the things that we've sort of found is we are who we are when we're with people, and that's sort of the most important part of what it is. So I would say be yourself and don't be afraid to put your name out there.
And Joel, what advice would you give?
I would give be persistent.
Yes.
Reach out for anything. You know, if you want something, you reach out, and if you don't hear back or it doesn't happen fast enough for your liking, reach out again, because I've learned with this experience that people are really busy these days, and I'm not talking just about myself. I'm talking everybody we meet with, and time is short. So I would just say, be persistent and ask. Never hurts to ask.
So you guys have been from other parts of the country. You know, what would you say to those interested in moving their family or business to the area? Would you recommend Tampa Bay and St. Pete in general?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely would. It was one of those things that I actually lived here as a kid and left because I wanted something more. And as I moved back, I was like, oh, it's all that stuff is right here. So it was, and it's really great to be a part of something that's growing. And that's a really cool sort of once in a lifetime experience. And it's friendly. Like that's the best part about it. Yeah, it's absolutely friendly, and it's unassuming. And that's, you can be casual. You don't have to be, it's not stuffy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a place where you don't have to fight wild animals or cold. It's not a desperate mode, except for now there's a hurricane coming.
Yeah, but other than the hurricane
yeah. You're not constantly trying to survive. There's time to assist other people as well.
Well, now it's time for some shout outs. Anyone you want to give a shout out to, Leah?
Oh my gosh, I would say everyone that's working with this Honest, and I know that there's a lot of people that know who they are, but I think everyone from Open to St. Pete Art Alliance to Station House to, you know, everyone that just has sort of pitched in. Molecular Media is our production hand that's sort of working on sort of our AV, and they are, without them, a lot of this stuff wouldn't be possible too.
Yeah. What about you, Joe?
I would say St. Pete Group, Joe Hamilton, Ashby Green, mm-hmm. Mike Vivio, Fred Stubbe, Chris Steiner has been very, very helpful. And Nate Stone Cipher Steve from Green Bench, mm-hmm. very, very, very supportive. We love them.
Wonderful. So if anyone would like to learn more about Et Cultura and buy tickets, how can they do that?
The easiest way is to actually go to our website, www.etcultura.com, and it has pretty much all the information that we would go over, whether it's buying a ticket, volunteering, asking us a question, finding out what's programmed on different days, which music talents are playing on different days, or our Facebook page is another good place that we post often and, you know, make sure that that's sort of our biggest way of marketing in terms of knowing what we're doing.
Well, listen, guys, I really want to thank you so much for being here today. I enjoy the conversation, and I really look forward to next time you're a guest on Job Talk. I know it's going to be a great festival, and so best of luck to you.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
We're grateful
this
to be here.
Great.
Appreciate it. So you've been listening to my guests today, Leah Umberger and Joel Malizia, two of the founders of Et Cultura. So be sure to attend the festival from November 15th through the 19th and check out their website at etcultura.com. And now it's time for Job Talk Alumni Update. Jackie Hinckley from Voices of Hope for Aphasia, again, wants to remind everybody about their annual benefit, Aphasia's Got Talent, and that's going to be held Saturday, September 23rd. More information about their annual benefit and the important work they're doing, please visit their website at vohaphasia.org. And congratulations go out to two Job Talk alumni who are winners of the 2017 Good Burger Awards. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill won for the Hot Spots and Hangouts category. Congrats go out to Mark Ferguson and his team. And Three Daughters Brewing one in the makers and creators category. Congratulations go out to Mike and Lee Harding and their staff, and all the winners, of course, of the 2017 Good Burger Awards. And now it's time for my shout-outs today. And again, this week, I want to give a shout-out to all my friends in Texas and Louisiana and everyone who's been affected by Hurricane Harvey. My thoughts and prayers are with you all. And if you care to help, please donate to the Salvation Army at helpsalvationarmy.org and the Red Cross at redcross.org. They need your help, so please do what you can. And to everyone in Tampa Bay, and you know, we just heard more about the Hurricane Irma, so I want to urge everyone to prepare for that and be safe, everybody. And my last shout-outs today go out to Cindy and Linda, two of the sweetest people I know. I look forward to seeing you soon. And to all, everyone, I hope you'll take the time to check out the Radio St. Pete website and explore all the music and shows that are featured. If you can't listen live, check out the archive section where you can listen at your convenience. There's something for everyone, and new shows are in production all the time. You can always listen to past Job Talk shows, including this one, and you will find some interesting and fun podcasts there, too. You can download the free app and listen anywhere you take your phone, tablet, or computer. That's Radio St. Pete. com. Also, if you enjoy listening to this program, please tell your friends and let me know if you have any suggestions for future guests. Plus, we're always looking for talent and contributors to the station. You can send those suggestions to me at deanlogan@radiosaintpete.com. You can also send me a tweet or follow me on Twitter at JobTalkHost. I want to give special thanks to Joe Bordeaux, Zooey, Cat, Joe, Andy, and the entire Big C team. I truly appreciate all of your support. And as always, I want to end Job Talk with this final thought and say to everyone listening, if you're thinking about relocating your family or business and are looking for a great place to live, work, and play, you should come visit and take a look at all St. Pete and Tampa Bay has to offer. I'm glad I did. I think you'll be glad you did, too. So thanks for listening, and until next time when we talk about jobs on Job Talk, this is Dean Logan. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Job Talk with Dean Logan, a presentation of RadioSt.Pete.com and broadcast live today from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. Visit BigCDesign.com to learn why top businesses turn to our experts to take their brands to the next level. That's BigCDesign.com. Listen next week at this same time for Job Talk with Dean Logan, live from Big C in downtown St. Petersburg. RadioSt.Pete.com.